Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Welcome, everyone. You're listening live with Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, and today's show, Fairy Tale Interrupted Relationship Coaching with Dr. Andrea Lee. Dr. Andrea Lee is a national speaker, an international author, a trainer at the Marriage Boot Camp, which is the same national 501c3 company that showcased a Wii TV show called Marriage Boot Camp Reality Stars, and an in-demand certified life coach and relationship guru with Fairy Tale Interrupted. I know she has a lot of wonderful information and a very wonderful guest that she would like to share with you today. So without further ado, I give you your host, Dr. Andrea Lee.
Hi, I'm Dr. Andrea Lee, your certified coach with Fairy Tale Interrupted Relationship Coaching. For those of you returning to listen back to this show this month, welcome back. For those of you who are new to this show, well, welcome. Just a reminder for you newbies, this show is a resource for real life as it bridges the gap between what society does not want to talk about and what's really happening in the family unit, the relationship, and, of course, the unique individual. I have a wonderful guest with me here today, and it's going to be a really great treat. Today, I have the pleasure of introducing Mr. Corey Lee, who is a certified public accountant in the Southfield, Michigan area and an international author of the book called The New Man, Changing Roles and Responsibilities. In addition, Corey will provide some suggestions on how women can encourage their counterparts to actively be engaged in family duties without creating major opposition or frustration. Just on a side note, Corey Lee is also a wonderful husband to myself and, of course, a wonderful father to our six children. So I am a little biased here myself, but his book has actually gone international with wonderful ratings. So I am so happy to introduce Mr. Corey Lee. I'm so eager to get started, so welcome.
Hello. Happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
And it's a pleasure to have you. Now, your book, The New Man, Changing Roles and Responsibilities, can you go just into a little bit of detail, you know, for our audience about what the book is about?
Well, it's just a book for men specifically about how to think more proactively about the roles that they have and the relationships that they have, not just with their spouse, but with coworkers and friends and family, children, parents. It mainly focuses on their significant other, but it does touch on all aspects of all relationships.
Now, you talk about the book actually being the audience for men, but, you know, for men in general, let's just be honest, self-help books, most men are not going to want to pick them up and read, especially for a relationship. Is that correct? Or what's your viewpoint on that?
It depends on the man, of course. So in general, men may be a little more complacent than women and may not pick up as many self-help books as women do. However, there are some men out there that do, myself included. But when I really started writing this book, I had the man in mind, but I think that women can also, from reading the book, get a lot of insight into what a man thinks and some good questions that they could be asking their man or training them some of the questions that are in the book to teach their man.
Well, and that's a great point to make. The question that I really have in my mind that I want to just put it out there for the audience. Let's just say if the wife or the counterpart wants to go ahead and read the book and kind of, let's say, grease some wheels to get the counterpart, the husband, the spouse, involved in actually reading the book, actively being engaged. Are there points in the book that women would actually connect with, or is this really more so only connecting with the male counterpart?
I think that both men and women will definitely get something out of the book.
Can you elaborate and give me an example?
There's, you know, some good questions about in the book. So, for example, one of the questions is, do you consider your partner to be an equal partner? Now, both men and women, or, you know, significant other, so to speak, could ask that question not only of themselves but of their partner. So from a woman's perspective, if they're asking a man or their significant other, how do you generally see me? Do you see me to be an equal partner? That prompts that other person to start thinking about that question and start down that path of, well, you know, it's not just household chores. It's what is equality? Do we make decisions on bills together? Do we make decisions on house cleaning together? Do we make decisions on child rearing together? Do we actually have conversations about those aspects of our relationship?
Well, and I'm sure you could also extend that even to how do you view my contribution professionally into the relationship?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, and this is such a groundbreaking book. I mean, it's very unorthodox to hear a man writing this book, let alone a father of six, great husband, who, you know, has the experience that you have. What motivated you to write this book?
Really thinking about the roles of my relationships and thinking that, you know, in general, men can be more complacent than women. And, you know, over the last 100 years, women have really had a triumphant expansion of their roles, not only in relationships but in the world in general. And men have really clung to the belief that they are masters of the universe and have been reluctant to change and embrace a more emotional role in a family dynamic or in their own personal lives in general. You know, there are a lot of emotional men out there, but statistically speaking, a majority of men think themselves more logical than emotional, whereas women think themselves more emotional than logical. But they've developed and enhanced their abilities and go outside the box to try and be responsible for the relationship, and not just emotionally but logically, and try and enhance their relationships, whereas men just seem complacent to do the same as they've always done. In thinking about that, it's just a matter of fine-tuning what relationships I've had with my wife, with my children, with, you know, coworkers, and thinking about the different aspects of, you know, how can I make things better? What have I done in the past that's helped or hurt that relationship? How can I as a man emotionally evolve beyond where I am currently when I started writing the book?
That's a lot of good information. Well, and another thing I think, too, is that when you look at where you are developing your emotional, I call it the emotional man, but where you're developing your feelings as the male counterpart in the relationship, you're watching from, you know, your outside influences, such as when you were a child, watching TV, watching the environment, watching your family. Do you feel that that has a bearing as to some of the problem that we have in today's society between the roles of a man and a woman?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, as children, you know, when I was a child and I fell off my bike and cried, my parents said, hey, you know, boys don't cry. Or, you know, the old classic movie, A League of Their Own, there's no crying in baseball. You know, men, boys, and young men are taught you don't cry. It's not allowed in society, whereas girls and women are, you know, I don't want to say notorious for crying, but cry, and it's socially acceptable, whereas a man crying is not. But that's enhanced, that's taught from childhood on.
Right, and I think for an example with myself, you know, I was raised in a military family, so it was a little bit different where, you know, it was a very authoritative family. You either did it or you failed. There was no credit for trying. And so I think it really depends also, in addition to this, how society looks at it, but also the environment in which you were raised. Now, let's kind of move on a little bit. You know, you've talked about what's motivated you to write this book, but, you know, and we're talking about it from a male perspective of, you know, you wrote this book with, you know, the male gender in mind, but we probably have a lot of women that are on the phone listening in our audience. You know, let's keep it real. What are they going to be able to get out of this book? How are they going to be able to help transition their husband or influence, not with power, but influence, to their counterparts to motivate them to want to be a part of the family unit and help out, as opposed to bypassing those gender roles that society places on us?
That is a great question. Definitely involved question and something that is important to talk about. So the book itself, even though geared towards men, women will definitely find insight from it about what, for example, the topic we just talked, when a child's ego, when a boy's ego is damaged, that affects his self-esteem. And as they grow up, that, you know, those influences, the outside influences, the sports heroes, the, TV shows, those all affect their emotional and psychological self-esteem, so to speak, and how they react and interact with other people and in the roles and relationships that they have. So this book goes through some of those topics and speaks to some of those characteristics so that women can get a little more insight into what men are thinking sometimes. And as I stated before, there are a good number of questions in the book that are at the end of the chapter that really hone in on what men should be thinking. So by a woman finding out what some of these questions are and proposing the questions to a man, it gets them thinking about what they should be thinking about. It's like planting a seed from the outside in and really letting that seed grow, because then they'll start thinking about it and really start engaging in the process even without knowing what's in the book.
Well, that was a great answer to my question. I didn't mean to stump you. I was just trying to see how we could kind of incorporate all of our audience into this, this wonderful session. You know, you've given a lot of great tips and suggestions, some things in your book and just on the cuff of who you are. But let's take a flip side of this coin. Being a man, can you give us women some suggestions on what not to do to influence? I know a lot of would say, okay, not yell, don't berate, but some other things that maybe we women don't think about from time to time, and that we just, in the process of trying to get things done on a daily basis, that may perhaps we've overlooked.
In general, men are pretty straightforward. So when you ask them a question, they give an answer. And I think that one of the things you could definitely look out for is when a man avoids a topic, such as talking about feelings, it's because they're uncomfortable about it. That doesn't mean you charge in and pounce like a tiger on that because they're avoiding. It's because that's some aspect that they're uncomfortable with. And maybe there's a way you can start bringing up that topic more often, not hammering it right away, but bringing it up more frequently on a regular basis so that they feel comfortable with it over time. Like I said, men are reluctant to change, more so than women, and the more a topic is introduced, the more likely they are to feel comfortable with it. It's a lot of times when something is stated or a question is asked, a man's first response is negative, because that's the way they've been trained. And if it's brought up slowly or developed over time, then there's more of a likelihood that they'll think about it, understand it, and fully accept it or embrace it when it's gradual rather than just sprung on them.
Okay, but what if there's a situation such as disciplining a child where it's instantaneous and you have to create a united front? I know that with us having 6 kids, that's actually happened fairly recently. And folks of the audience, I always keep it real. I tell exactly what's going on. And that's what this show is all about, is, bringing up those topics that society doesn't talk about. So let's talk about situations in everyday that we may not have the time to think about. We may have to create a united front. Something happens. How do you feel that addressing that, allowing both partners to be a part of that decision with one person being a lead, how would you handle that?
Can you elaborate a little more on the question? I guess I'm not sure exactly.
Well, and I'm just giving an example of, let's say there's an issue with a child, and both parents are looking at discipline, but yet they don't agree. But yet the child's looking at both parents as, okay, so what's my punishment going to be? Of course, they both have to have a united front, but they may have a difference of opinion as to what that discipline punishment would look like. There are different discipline styles. There are so many different ways of thinking about things. And again, discipline is just one piece to a marriage, to a relationship, to an everyday situation. So how would you handle that? Because you're talking about planting the seeds within your husband, the situation, so that way he kind of comes around and he's influenced. But what if you have a situation such as disciplining a child or a family crisis that comes up very quickly and both have different viewpoints on how that situation should be handled? What suggestion could you give our audience to kind of bridge that gap between two opinions?
Well, in a perfect world, you'd discuss all of these matters beforehand, of course, but we all know we live in reality. So in that situation, my suggestion would be send the child to timeout or to their room, and then so that you have a couple of minutes to discuss the issue. So that you're not undermining the other person right in front of your child. It's a matter of respect for both parties involved. Both parents really need to show respect of the other and don't want to be undermining or arguing in front of the child to make sure that they still present a united front for the child's poor behavior.
Okay, and let's take that decision-making process of discipline out of the way. You have to make a quick decision, both parties. Example, a job offer. There's something that, you have two job offers, one is travel, one is not. Both sides have different opinions on it. It's not just discipline. How do you handle making a decision with your counterpart with the family in mind and being able to move forward in that decision-making process in an expeditious manner when the situation calls for it?
When there's a immediate need for discussion and a seed cannot be planted over a long period of time and let it grow. Sometimes you just have to, use the hammer. It's not something that you want to do and something that should be used often, but a lot of times men need to, put their big boy pants on, so to speak, and really make emotional decisions or discuss topics that are really pulling the Band-Aid out and making sure that they need to know that they're part of a relationship. If it's something that is frequently used, if it's something that, we have to discuss this right now and it's all the time and it's constant turmoil, then yeah, a man is going to emotionally withdraw. But if it's the rare occasion or, certain times where a specific need has to be met immediately, then having an immediate discussion is warranted.
Well, and I think also basing that on a level of respect for where the other person is in the process and acknowledging where that other person is in the process, would you not say that that's an important factor in making a decision as a family?
Absolutely. Acknowledgement is one of the key elements of a relationship, not just saying, yeah, I hear you, but really saying, okay, I understand what you're saying, I know what you feel, and I respect that that is your opinion. And you can respect somebody and disagree with their opinion. But that's really along the lines of planting the seed. That's something that needs to be developed over a long period of time in general for men, because most men don't grow up feeling that way. They think that, what they feel is right because that's what they feel. And it's a nurturing woman that can help a man realize that that is not that he is not always right, that it is not, you know, his universe. He is not the end-all be-all of society and cannot make choices for everybody that he meets. He can have his own opinion and does have to respect the opinion of others.
Well, and also as a relationship coach, I think I hope you don't mind, but I'd like to add one more thing. When you're having conversations with your counterpart, please make sure that you only have one topic that you're discussing at that particular time. Because I know that in our past, I mean, we're just going to lay it out there here. There have been times where it's like an imaginary filing cabinet where if I feel like I'm being attacked and I'm losing a situation, I'll pull out this file cabinet and I'll pull out everything that I feel that you've ever done to me to kind of get you off my back, per se, or not feel like I'm being attacked. But in essence, there are a lot of things in a relationship that is forever revolving. You know, there are going to be several open topics that is going to take some time to resolve. I think every relationship has that, and especially in my relationship coaching practice, I tell my clients, in order to have a conversation and resolve that conversation, focus on that one topic. And if you want to, once you close that topic out, then you can start on another one or even schedule for those additional topics. But never commingle multiple topics in a single conversation, because it will only muddy the water. And ultimately, it also affects the way that you feel that you're being listened to. Would you not agree to that?
I definitely agree with that one topic at a time is the way to go. Unfortunately, in life, there really are times where not just, you know, you and your filing cabinet, but life in general happens where we can be in the middle of a discussion and all of a sudden, you know, something else happens with the kids, and then, you know, the dog pees on the floor, and, you know, something else happens, and next thing you know, we're 10 topics deep and we don't want to sit there and talk all night, but because we have work the next day. Again, it's a matter of prioritizing and understanding what really is important to both of you at that time and trying to figure out, okay, what is the root issue that we're really upset about? You know, with your filing cabinet or my pulling up other topics as well, everybody does it, there's got to be some cause. And once you get to that cause, it makes everything else seem minor.
Well, and I think your book addresses that from a male perspective in several chapters. So, you know, thank you so much for this opportunity to talk to me about your book. Courtney, would you like to get on the phone? And I'm sure you're probably dying with some questions here to ask our gentleman here.
Yeah, first of all, I have to thank both of you guys for this opportunity, especially to talk to you. My husband happens to be here with me this evening, and we were actually just discussing your file cabinet scenario, and my husband used the analogy of when you have an argument, women tend to want to discuss the history of the world.
That's very true.
Like the whole entire history. So we actually got a good laugh out of that one because we totally relate. One of the things that I wanted to ask you, and this is just from my perspective, I have heard over and over and over again women say that men are more visual, that trying to talk to a man, you know, men tend to tune women out, especially if it's repetitive. Do you feel like that is the case, that, you know, taking a physical action or showing, you know, you're upset or something along those lines, that gets across more to a man than actual communication or speech?
That depends on the man. I really think that every man is different. I know I am a visual person, but I can tell you that, you know, if we're having an argument, even if my wife is standing in front of me naked, she doesn't always get her way. It's usually, but not always.
This is a professional show here.
And I'm trying to keep it clean. I really am. But the reality is that it has to relate to something that they already know. if you can relate a topic, an issue to a man in a way that they already understand, you know, and that's why I've tried to use some analogies like, you know, a hammer and a nail or a saw or, you know, baseball, just riding a bike, something that if you can relate emotional aspects to something that a man already understands, it's a lot easier connection. It's not just visual or auditory or physical. It's a connection. There has to be that, you know, real world example to an emotional aspect, then they'll understand.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
My husband's actually in the background saying a list, because that is actually one of the methods we have used in our marriage, is that when I am upset about something, I will list it or write it down, because that is something that he can comprehend. That is something that comes across easier to him.
Yeah, and it's not just the visual of the list. It's the, okay, understanding that this list is important to you. Because if I just, for example, in our relationship, for me and Andrea, if I just hear something, I won't remember it. I just won't. It's not how I learn. It's not how I remember. If I see something or if I can relate something to what is important to her, then I'll remember it.
Mm-hmm. Now, along that same lines of communication, I know that I have heard a lot of women blame communication as one of the biggest faults of a relationship. And a lot of times they blame the man for that. You know, he's not communicating. He won't open up. Do you feel that's true? And what advice would you kind of offer to help instill better communication from a man, from your perspective?
You want that one afterwards? Okay, so I'll give you my two cents, and then Andrea's going to give you her official opinion, her relationship coach opinion. My two cents on that is that men communicate great, because if you watch men in a group, they have a great time. They're communicating all over the place. It's just different than how women communicate. Men and women don't communicate the same. It's different. So from a woman's perspective, a man is not communicating. From a man's perspective, women talk too much. It's just the way it is. So until men and women can understand how the other person communicates, you know, until you're in a relationship and you realize that you communicate one way and they communicate another, you're going to think that the other person doesn't communicate well. People are different. They communicate in different ways, and you have to learn how somebody else communicates before you can understand that you're judging them by how you communicate. You can't say that that person's a bad communicator just because they don't communicate the same way you do or the same way that you would expect them to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and through my professional opinion, I'm going to say pretty much the same reply when I have the women ask, you know, saying, okay, it's his fault, it's his problem. And my reply is always, and it never fails, it's always, okay, how have you contributed to this situation? And the women's like, oh my gosh, you know, Dr. Andrea, you're breaking girl code. It's like, no, there's no girl code, there's no boy code. It's you need to speak their language, okay? And their love language is different. And there, you know, there are great books. There's a, you know, a great book of a love language that's out there. But it's the same thing of, okay, when women are asking that or saying, yes, my counterpart is the problem for our communication, I keep talking and he's not listening, then, again, I would ask the women. And I would, as a woman, I would think to myself, how am I contributing to the situation? And if it's not working, then you need to change up your game.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the philosophies I've heard, and I actually do practice this in my marriage, and my husband can attest to this, is we try to never go to bed angry. That is our philosophy. No matter what the situation is, you know, what the argument is, we try to never go to sleep, you know, angry or you know, go into the next day and carry it over. Do you guys believe in that, or do you guys practice that? Have you guys heard of that philosophy before?
Oh, that is a great example of wonderful thinking. Theory is wonderful, but never practical. With six kids and tremendous amounts of things to do on a daily basis for work and schools, and some nice topics of discussion, especially when Andrea pulls open the file cabinet and starts pulling things out. There's no way that happens every time. It's wonderful when it does, but it's not practical, and it's frustrating when you try to live up to that ideal. If you live up to an ideal that you can't ever obtain or maintain, then you're going to be frustrated and think that your relationship's not as good as it really is.
And I think from a relationship coach perspective, it's okay to table a conversation, especially when it's so late at night and both, you know, each party is so tired, they don't know what to do. And at that point, you're not even really logically thinking. You're more so coming from an emotional, I feel hurt, you know, I feel like I'm not being listened to, that at that point you really need to, and now this is not a good excuse to table the conversation and then never come back to it. But if both sides actually say, okay, the kids are going to bed at 7:30, 8 o'clock tomorrow, you and me, we're going to have a conversation. We're going to have what we call a dyad. We're going to sit right in front of each other, and we're going to talk about this and, you know, with a level head. That is actually more practical than saying, I am going to go ahead and you and I are going to never go to bed angry. Because do you know how many sunsets we have seen and sunrises we've met in the morning? It is not pretty, especially when you have young kids, Courtney. It's not pretty.
Well, I can attest to the fact that we don't have children, so I will throw that out there. So we've had some late-night conversations, but it's one of those philosophies that, yeah, I totally agree. It doesn't always happen. It's not a perfect world. But I do think that kind of throwing that philosophy out there kind of gives you that idea that, you know, you have to try. A relationship is worth working for if you want to be in it, you know. And I think sometimes couples forget about that, whether it's the man or the woman. You know, it's that, well, I just give up. We're not going to discuss this anymore. We're not going to talk about it. We're just going to forget about it. And you do need to have that conversation, because then the file cabinet will come out. You know, it'll evolve into an even bigger argument than it should be in its originality. I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, it does. And not only that, I mean, I'm looking at our previous history. Again, when, you know, we lost our son, there were a lot of hurt feelings that I had in my own heart, in my own mind, that I kept bottled up. And it did turn into resentment, and it did create a wedge between our relationship. And I think, you know, our viewers, our listeners can actually go back to the first, June session of Body, Mind, and Spirit, our first session, and they can kind of hear a little bit of background. But you know what? There are things that you can put to bed quite easily. And then there are other topics that are not just a one-hit wonder where it's going to be an hour or 2 hours and you're going to be able to put it to bed. There are a lot of things of issues of self-discovery that you even have to realize yourself before you're even able to talk to your partner about. And to put that stipulation of, okay, well, we're not going to go to bed until, you know, you may not know why you're angry. And that may be something that you need to have some time. But again, as I've stated before, and I think you also have stated, Courtney, it's so important to not just say we're going to table a conversation and then not come back to the, you know, to discussing it.
Mm-hmm. And I think some people do that. I think it's very easy to say, well, let's just forget about this. And really, it is an issue, and it's discussed.
It's okay to have a timeout. It's not okay to just completely ignore the situation.
Well, and I think both sides have to also agree on the time limit and when you need to table it. So let's say one party says, okay, let's talk about it tomorrow at 8 o'clock. The other person says, let's go ahead and talk about it, but let's talk about it at 9 o'clock. Okay, well, you go with the latest time, latest date, okay, because that person is telling you, I need additional time. Now, I am very much a go-getter. I have admitted it to myself. Everybody knows, almost to a fault. So when my husband comes to me and says, we need to table a conversation, most of the time before, I would say a few years ago, I'm like, oh, no, we're going to finish this, and we're going to finish this right now. Okay, and it's being able to actually realize, hey, listen, this other person's saying they need time, you know, he or she needs time, and respecting that boundary that that person is putting up for you, and realizing that it may be, even though you may be so fired up and you're wanting to address the issue, nothing is going to go in the right direction if both parties are not in the right frame of mind to move forward. Does that make sense, Courtney?
Yeah, it does. And you guys both bring up a good point. You know, it's okay to take a time out. You know, that is one of the things that I have actually had to discover within my marriage. I am that type of person that I'm kind of like you, Andrea. I want to deal with it, and I want to deal with it now. But I find that when I deal with it and I deal with it now, I'm at my highest point of anger. I'm not thinking rationally or clearly. I want to be heard and I want to be right. So I've actually started to maintain that, you know, okay, maybe a conversation is worth tabling for a while because I need to have a clear head. I need to become more rational, you know, and my husband obviously needs the space because he's asking me, you know, to not discuss this at that moment in time.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of times when Andrea and I have had discussions that get heated, I definitely want to have, you know, time away or a time out because I don't want to start saying something that, you know, is hurtful or spiteful or mean just because that's the way I feel at that moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to ask this question of you, Corey. I know women like to use extremes, and I've been guilty of using extremes before. You know, if you don't do this, then I'm going to do this. You know, if you don't straighten up and act out, you know, and do what I'm asking and change, then I'm going to leave you or I'm going to separate. How do men take that? Like, how do men look at extremes? Because I can honestly say I don't think that they look at them very well. But from your perspective, what is that like on your side of the fence?
It's frustrating because there's really two thoughts there, and the first would be it is frustration mainly because it's hurtful to the sense that you don't feel like, you know, as a man, you don't feel like you're doing the right things in the relationship because otherwise, you know, you're the person you're in the relationship with wouldn't feel like that. And then second of all, it's frustrating because if the other person in the relationship keeps using that type of emotional blackmail, you get to the point where you're like, yeah, whatever, this is just, you know, hot air. Okay, they're doing it again. Why do they keep doing this and not doing anything about it? So you get immune to it, and then that could lead to the point where the person does actually do it. So it's not something that I would recommend as a, you know, tactic, but it is something that men need to be conscious of, that, you know, it's not something that they want to ignore. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I would agree with you. I mean, if it gets to that point, I think from a woman's standpoint, like, she's really trying to get her point across. She feels like she's not being heard.
Yes. And at that point, it's, you know, a man's job to say, okay, I acknowledge what you're saying before she gets to that point. But when she's definitely at that point, saying, okay, well, what really is, you know, the issue here? Because I'm obviously not understanding it. And it takes a, I don't want to say self-aware or self-actualized man, somebody that understands that women's emotions are really, you know, a driver in a lot of the relationship issues. It's a matter of understanding those issues and what can be done about them in the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say you have the floor. So we have a lot of women who listen to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. I know that for a fact. What advice or what would you like the women out there who are listening to this show to understand about men that maybe they don't? What is the one thing you want them to take from this?
Not all men are chauvinistic pigs.
Good answer.
There are a few out there that are I don't want to say trainable in the sense that, you know, men aren't knowledgeable, but trainable in the sense that men can go beyond the stereotypes of the chauvinistic pig. You know, there are men that can, you know, be in touch with their emotions and still be a man. There are men that can understand women and how women communicate. There are men that can understand that when, you know, a woman does say, hey, you know, I'm going to leave you, it's not because they don't like you anymore. It's because they're frustrated to the point that something has to change. And then figuring out what that is that needs to be changed and then following through on that change. And I think that, you know, unfortunately, follow through is a real topic. You know, when men say, oh, I'm going to do something and then don't, that's really something that affects a woman emotionally. And men don't realize that. It's, oh, well, I'll just do it tomorrow. It's not a big deal. You know, men don't always grasp the emotional repercussions of their actions or lack of actions.
I think that some women who are listening to this show kind of take that standpoint or perspective that men aren't emotional, you know, and I mean, how would you clarify that for them, that men have emotions?
You know, men are definitely emotional. All men have emotions. We're all human beings. We all have emotions. Now, to what extent men have emotions is to the extent that they've been trained to have emotions. When, like I alluded to before, when little boys grow up and they're told, you know, don't cry, don't, you know, do this, don't do that, don't, you tend to repress those emotions that you naturally have. And until you start allowing yourself to feel those, then it's different, because men's emotions are more toward anger or resentment or frustration or, you know, men really feel a lot of negative emotions. They feel the extremes, the very, very happy, elated emotions, or the very, very, you know, upset or sad emotions. But there's a lot of variances in between that they just go to the extremes, whereas women actually think about, understand, talk about, and, you know, allow themselves to feel. Men try and repress as much as they can because that's what they've been taught.
And I have to ask this just because of, you know, my personal experience, and I think that both you and Andrea could probably answer this. You know, some women have that perspective of, okay, men aren't emotional, and then they get into a relationship where a man is more emotional. He's willing to talk about his emotions, or he may even cry. You know, how would you give advice on that standpoint? Because I feel like sometimes women in those relationships go, okay, there's something wrong with this guy. I have to get out of here fast, or, you know, I can't cope with this, or holy crap, you know, what kind of advice would you give from that perspective?
Yeah, again, it's what people expect versus the reality of the situation. When you go into a relationship expecting a guy to be unemotional, unattached, or uninvolved, and he's emotional, gets attached, and wants to be involved, you don't know how to, you know, as a woman, that's not what you're expecting. Therefore, you think it may be wrong. It's not right. It's a matter of changing your, realizing your situation and changing your perspective. So in any relationship, there's, you know, two sides. There's your side and the other person's side, and your opinion and the other person's opinion. And just because you have an opinion doesn't mean that's what the other person's opinion is. Just because you have a perspective of how somebody else should be doesn't mean that that's how they really are. And it's really difficult for not just men, but for women sometimes too, to accept other people for how they are, not how you want them to be.
Mm-hmm. Andrea, do you have anything to add?
Well, I think also you have to understand where the wife, her upbringing. Again, I came from a very strong, you know, if it's meant to be, it's up to me, and you either do it or you fail. Coming from those extremes as a woman, I think has also pushed me, you know, to be in a position where I earned two PhDs before the time I was 30. You know, I have already sold a business coaching practice, moving on to my next, you know, love of my life here. You know, in addition to six kids, it also depends. So if you have a woman that has maybe not had as much emotion or has been exposed to that, and then she sees a counterpart feel that, it's not necessarily that there may be something wrong with him, but it may alert the woman that there's an insecurity or there's something going on with her. Maybe she's not being honest with her emotions, or she's not in touch with her emotions at the time.
I would agree with you. Well, I want to say thank you both for allowing me to ask you guys questions. It's really been an honor. I'm going to give the show back to you, Andrea.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Courtney, for your point of view. And, you know, just wanted to let everyone know that this is actually a pre-recorded show. This show is to air September 13th, which is actually the birthday of my twins. So wanting to be with them on their birthday here, we have decided that since we're not able to do a live chat, and I'm sure all of you have burning questions that you want to ask Corey or even myself regarding this issue, or maybe even other relationship questions or advice, you are more than welcome to actually post it, and actually you can even private message me on Facebook. We have a company website, which is Fairy Tale Interrupted Relationship Coaching, and again, that's on Facebook. You're more than welcome to, again, go ahead if you want to post a question, post some advice. You're more than welcome to. Also, our website is AndreaRelationshipCoach.com. So if you would like to schedule a 20-minute relationship explosion session, free, just why and help you grow your relationship here, we are more than welcome to schedule that with you. Again, we are right now 2 weeks out, so if you're wanting to get something as soon as possible, make sure you send that email out. And don't forget to add info@AndreaRelationshipCoach.com to your contact list in your address book of email, so that way our reply email does not go to your spam. Just on a couple of other quick matters here, some upcoming events, and Corey, I would love your opinion on this. You know, the holidays are coming up. I mean, I think with Halloween, it's pretty easy, it's in the bag. But with Thanksgiving, with Hanukkah, with Christmas, yeah, the holidays. How are you feeling about the holidays?
What holidays?
No. Yeah.
I'm just going to... kidding. Yeah, the holidays are definitely quickly approaching, and I can't believe it's September already. That's insane. But no, definitely not ready for the holidays yet, but thanks for planting the seed. I'll be ready soon.
Yeah, and that's going to be something we're going to have to keep planning here the next couple of weeks. But the reason why I bring that up is because, you know, let's face it, the holidays, Thanksgiving dinner, you're looking at family members that, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you did this to me a few years ago, or you still owe me money from 5 years ago, and you still have not paid me back. I can't believe you've done that. And yet you have the nerve of looking right in front of me and smiling and acting like everything's okay. So if there's some excess baggage, some issues with money, anything of that issue, we have the solution for you. November 5th, which is going to be a Saturday, Fairy Tale Interrupted Relationship Coaching is presenting two fabulous workshops backed by popular demand. The first one will be in the morning in Novi, Michigan, of course, in the Hampton Inn on Haggerty Road in Novi, and it's going to be from 9 to noon. Registration starts at 8:45, And it is Know Your Money, Healthy Money Relationship Bootcamp. And it will guide you through the process of developing prosperity mindset so you can achieve peace, health, and plenty of all aspects of your life, especially when it comes to your finances. The cost is $45 for the investment, but if you actually purchase during the early bird special, it's only $35. And that is still, you're going to get your $20 gift, which is the international bestseller, The Coaching Guru, which will be the coaching that keeps on giving even after this boot camp session. Now, for some of you that are wondering, this is not going to be how you invest your money or CPA's viewpoint. This is your perception with money, how you have shaped your relationship and how we can change your relationship for the better. It's a very personal experience. It is one of the two issues that relationship couples have. One is money and the second is forgiveness, which will be the afternoon boot camp. Where Fairytale Interrupted Relationship Coaching will be presenting Redefining Forgiveness, the Letting Go Boot Camp, which was previously known as Forgiveness Divine. Now, this interactive boot camp will guide participants through the process of letting go through negative emotions, mastering truth forgiveness, while moving on to happiness. The cost of that is also $45, but with the early bird of registering before October 1st, you have the opportunity of $35. Now, you will get a coaching guru for each session. However, if you sign up for both for this specific date, not only are you going to get the coaching guru from one session, but you're also going to get a surprise gift, which will be the gift that will keep on giving and making you go to that next level within your own freedom of happiness. And that's a $40 value. So realistically, if you signed up for both on that Saturday for $35 and $35, which is $70, and then you actually get your gifts for $60, it's only costing you $10 and a few hours of your time for each session. You can't go wrong. Both sessions are very, very limited. We have less than 18 spots left, and it's just been released. If you really want to make an impact in your relationship and work on your personal growth, this is definitely the accelerated boot camp for you. Okay, so you're more than welcome to reach out on AndreaRelationshipCoach.com or call our direct phone number, which is 248-880-8336, or you can also go to our Facebook at, again, Fairytale Interrupted Relationship Coaching, and it will give you the Eventbrite direct registration page, which is secure. You can pay with a credit card or all forms of method of payment, and we look forward to seeing you there. Again, Dr. Andrea Lee with Fairytale Interrupted, and today I am so excited that I've been able to have this opportunity to speak with Corey Lee, international bestseller of The New Man. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
And for those of you that are interested in obtaining the book, you can actually go to AndreaRelationshipCoach.com on the bookstore section, and there's actually going to be a discount for Body, Mind, and Spirit viewers. So please, when you actually go to the checkout, make sure you use that promotion code of Body and Mind, one word, and you will get a nice substantial discount, okay? Wonderful. Thank you so much for this opportunity to have this conversation with you all. And I look forward to next month where we will be talking in further detail about the holidays and how to survive your family and friends during the holiday season. Thank you so much.